and a very good morning out there, everybody. Welcome in to the program today. This is Dr. Andrew Dyer joining you live in studio for the first Saturday of August in 2026. And it's a crazy little rainy Saturday we're dealing with here in Dayton, but that shouldn't put us in a dark mood. What I'm going to focus on today is heart health, heart disease testing, why it's important, how your standard screenings annually with your PCP may miss some things, and give you some alternatives to consider, how we test differently, how we interpret those tests differently, and how we provide different treatment options outside the standard mindset of drug for this, drug for that, because ultimately, if we can help our patients get healthier, then they may not need as many drugs. And that is kind of what we're here for, really. Every Saturday morning, we try to join you live from 11 to noon, and we are here on this marvelous station every week. And the schedule for August is going to be a little bit crazy, but no matter, we forge on, we focus on to the things that are important. And like I said, I am Dr. Andrew Dyer. I'm a doctor of chiropractic. I'm the only board certified clinical nutritionist at Take Two Healthcare, currently taking new patients and happy to help if you have problems like heart disease, cancer, or you just want to get healthier. Maybe you don't have a particular disease state that you're dealing with. You haven't been told by your doctor you have this, that, or the other going on, but you want to take the bull by the horns and try to start getting healthier. I was encouraged this week that a few of my patients in their younger decades, so I consulted with a husband and wife in their 30s. She was in her 30s. He was in his upper 30s. And so they've already decided that because, and I don't know that this was their main motivating factor, but they have five little kids at home. And so they're taking that, like I said, bull by the horns and saying, okay, what can we do right now to be healthy so that we can live a long life to help our kids and probably still with the focus of being around for future grandkids and all those things that we really only get one big lap around this planet. So we got to do the best with what we're given. And so that was encouraging to see people in their 30s and 40s really taking it seriously in terms of they came in to see me to talk again. And we had tested them in the past about 3 or 4 years ago. I had. And we helped them then, and then they kind of got away from things, and they wanted to come back and get rechecked and see where they are now. And instead of just stopping at our standard 58-point blood test analysis, we added cancer profiles, hormone profiles, and what we call also our advanced cardiac panel, our advanced coronary panel, to see where their risk markers lie, so that we can utilize those test values to help pinpoint an individualized treatment protocol for them so that in the years to come, they can get and stay healthier, because neither one of them are on any medications right now, but their goal for doubling their lifespan and probably tripling their lifespan if you're in your 30s really has to start now on a heart front. On a sad note, my wife lost an uncle this week. He was 74, and he was a heart patient. And he was a heart patient because he was a little bit overweight. I would say he's a very, very big guy. He was like 6'6", and just a giant of a man, and had a huge heart. I mean, a warm heart, a kind heart. But he was on medications that his standard medical team had put him on for blood pressure and cholesterol and things of that nature. But just because he was doing that didn't mean that all was fine and that he still didn't have to take his risk levels seriously. And this is now an after-the-fact discussion for him. But he was the primary caregiver for his wife, who's battled through brain cancer on two different occasions in her life and continues to live now under a totally different approach to her life because her primary caregiver, her husband, is gone. He died last Sunday. And I'm using that story just as a way to illustrate that if you don't begin to take some of these heart health things seriously now, if you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, it's never too late But it's much easier to make a plan that can be effective for the ensuing decades rather than to look at somebody in their eighth decade of life and say, okay, yeah, let's flip the clock back to where they were 20 and 30. It can work. It's just a lot harder. So standard protocol and testing at your annual physical does not tell the whole story. If you put this in consideration, our standard blood assessment has 58 different markers on it. And a typical physical exam, annual physical, you might get 20 or 25 different blood values. That's half, or in some cases a third or even a quarter of what we might look at. And I feel like sometimes if you're a newer listener to this show, you think, well, these guys just talk about testing. They want to test. Yeah, we do, because testing helps guide us into making specific treatment plans for each person, because we don't address a patient just by their diagnostic criteria. Yeah, you come into us and you have heart disease or you have cancer. You're not going to get the exact same treatment that everybody else that has heart disease or cancer gets, because that's not how functional nutritional approaches to healthcare really work the best. They have to be individualized to each specific person, because no two patients are the same. They're different body sizes. Their bodies need different things, whether they're male or female, whether they have genetic history of this or family history of that. There's all these different little tick marks to evaluate to say, okay, if you don't fit in this big, broad, what we call clinical range, the range that the medical doctors and hospitals throughout our country and world use, then you don't just get the standard approach to, okey, your numbers for cholesterol are high, you've got to take this statin, and maybe your blood pressure is too high, you got to take this BP med. It doesn't work that way in an effective, individualized treatment approach. So back into what we were just saying about standard physical, if blood values are in what they consider normal range at this annual physical, they don't really do a deeper dive. They don't dive further. But again, that does not necessarily mean you are safe or that nothing's wrong. Let me share another quick story about a family member. I've talked about it before, and I'm not going to stop talking about it because it's that important. If we know this, we know one thing, that heart disease is the number one killer of American patients. You can add up all the cancer diagnoses of all kinds, for men, for women, across an annual circuit of time, and you're still not going to beat out the numbers of those suffering with heart disease at a higher clip than cancer. And we hear all sorts of things about cancer. We got pink cleats and pink gloves in the NFL for the month of breast cancer awareness. Well, there's a lot more cancer cases out there than just breast cancer. But to illustrate the point, heart disease is the number one killer. It's high and much farther above all those cancer cases combined. So if we focus on this, 49-year-old, connected to my family. He's got a family history rife with serious heart issues in his genetic line. I just give you that bullet point so that you set the stage for that. It's not the determining factor, but it's one piece of the story. His cholesterol values were terrible. Other values were bad. His doctor ran the tests. He was in range on most things. But he and his wife both have medical backgrounds, and they had done a lot of their own research and wanted more tests. Now, his doctor wouldn't approve those blood tests, so I ended up ordering them for him. And I'll go into those here in a minute, but we ordered two specific heart markers for him because we had to get the ball rolling quickly. And we looked at apolipoprotein B and lipoprotein A. And I'll detail those tests for you in a minute, but the reason we did that is we were wanting to see what his risk, and not just risk like on a predictive value, but what was his body actually laying down on a plaque burden level. When we're talking about arterial health and the fact that we came to find out after these tests came back in the code blue range, and I immediately called my sister-in-law and said, hey, you guys need to address this right now. You need to show these to your doctor. And she knew the urgency of it as well. She's in healthcare, so she knew. They took the data, gave it to his cardiology team. And what did they do next? They said, well, we better do a stress test. Well, he failed that stress test so miserably, they wouldn't even allow him to leave the hospital. So by that night, at age 49, He had two stints. His Widowmaker was 90% blocked. He was a ticking time bomb at 49 years of age. And if this doesn't give you pause or give you a little scare, then you're not paying attention. Okay, it did me. Right now, I'm 47. In a month, I'll be 48. So I'm two birthdays away from 49. I'm not worried about being 49. I'm doing everything I can each and every day to be as healthy as possible. But he was on a path towards nowhere good. I mean, the next step for him after 90% blockage in his Widowmaker was imminent heart attack, or at least a very, very high risk of heart attack or stroke. He was not overweight. He's not a smoker, consumes virtually no alcohol. This was not a hard living man. He did have a diet high in processed foods and sugar, but that was just one thing out of about five risk factors that he wasn't doing correctly. Now, just because he got stints also does not mean he's good to go. So what kind of damage was already done? He also had other arteries without stints. So the point right now is not that, well, I guess the point is that we did have a hand in helping him save or prolong his life, and we haven't yet had the opportunity to intervene enough to come back and check some of these values again, because now with those arteries more patent or more open, there's going to be improvements in the numbers, but we've got to take a little dive into what those numbers actually show us. And what they do show us is, if you remember, the two tests that we ran were lipoprotein A and apolipoprotein B. Now, those may sound like buzzwords to you, and they do in a sense to me too, but I'm going to tell you a little bit deeper about what they mean. So ApoB counts the total number of harmful plaque-causing particles in the blood. So this is where they start pinning that high cholesterol value on laying down these plaque-building particles. Okay, so cholesterol's part of this for sure, but it's not the whole story. Now, if we look at what the lipoprotein A measures, it measures a specific inherited type of particle that drives up risk for blocked arteries and stroke. And they say, I say they, meaning the standard medical thought process, the research community for cardiac research, they say that there's nothing you can do about lipoprotein A. They say basically, you know, levels are 80 to 90% determined by your genes, and generally they don't change with diet, exercise, or standard approaches, which may be cholesterol drugs in this case. I say, okay, maybe 80 to 90% is determined by your genes, but that gives me a 10 to 20% window into being able to help these people. And I have several other cases over the years where we've taken lipoprotein A levels and actually brought them down. Now, I will say this, they don't generally go from blue, code blue emergency values back to normal in 2 months' time. Why? Because a lot of the patients we're working with these kind of values are in their 70s and 80s. They've already had 6 or 7 decades of time to accumulate some of this plaque burden in their blood. And now I'm supposed to go and reverse that in the next 2 months? Well, we can, and a lot of times we do. I had another patient this week who we measured some different heart values on him, because as part of our advanced coronary panel, we look at two values called SDMA and ADMA. And you probably don't know what those mean, and that's okay. They're arginine-specific values. Arginine's an amino acid. The body also lays down these arginine plaque walls inside the artery when there's change to that artery health. So when atherosclerosis is taking place, those arteries are getting thicker and the blood flow is not as good through there. And so the body starts to lay down these deposits, and we can measure them in the blood so that we know that what we're doing from a treatment perspective is working. I know we got to take a break here coming up soon, and we'll come back on the other side of the break and talk about those ADMA and SDMA values some more. But we're talking about heart disease today. I'm going to talk about some acupuncture protocols for smoking cessation. But you're listening this morning to Dr. Andrew Dyer for Take Two Healthcare on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. All right, back in action here. Thank you, Gracie. Dr. Andrew Dyer here joining you live this morning on WHIO for Take Two Healthcare. If you missed the lead-in and intro and first now half half of the program. You can always come back to our website later on this week or next week and grab the podcast version. We have the archived radio shows posted on our website, take2healthcare.com. You can also find them on WHIO.com. Or if you're using a smartphone of any kind, you just type in for your podcast app and click on Take Two Healthcare, and it'll bring you up to speed on the latest program. Typically, they're posted within about 24 to 48 hours through WHIO. So if you missed the beginning, you can always catch up later on. Want to dive back into the heart health stuff we've been talking about. A couple family members that we've been sharing with or sharing about. There was a long-standing mindset in medicine that once heart tissue was damaged, it was impossible for that to heal and repair. Well, we've known now in the literature for probably the last 20 to 30 years that it is possible to reverse that damage if things are done correctly and appropriately for a standard amount of time. We can actually heal and repair heart tissue that was previously thought to be unimprovable, if that's even the right word for it. But we have to use this mindset of reset and reverse if we're talking about heart. And what we look for is way beyond what the standard protocol is for patients with concerns about heart health. This is peace of mind care that often costs far less than any deductible. And also, there's no guarantee you can even get your doctor to order these tests or that your insurance will cover it. We've got to get out of that mindset. We must get out of the mindset that if your insurance doesn't cover the test, that you simply don't need it. That's not how insurance operates, and I think we all know that. And the program today is not about insurance. It's just people come in to us thinking, well, I'll just run these tests through my insurance, and it'll be easy peasy, gone and done. Well, typically we can get these blood markers done for even less than it would cost going through your insurance. So there's ways to do it for a pretty low-level investment in the early phases. Now, I was mentioning a couple of tests before we took a break, and I was talking about, at that point in time, ADMA and SDMA. Now, these are acronyms, and they talk about atherosclerotic change. The test results literally give us feedback as to how thick this patient's arteries have become over time with damage. Now, I'm going to give you just a little verbiage from the report I put together for this 78-year-old patient in my office this week. ADMA, or asymmetric dimethylarginine, was high in his blood test. Now, this was a follow-up we did 3 months after we identified it by being high in the first place. Now, this is a metabolite of arginine, and it reduces nitric oxide production. If you're familiar with the biochemistry of arteries, then you know that we need nitric oxide to help open those arteries up, to keep them free and clear, keep them running properly. Elevated levels of ADMA are associated with endothelial dysfunction, meaning the endothelium is the inner aspect of that artery, that muscular layer. It's called the intimal wall, okay? It also indicates insulin resistance, or can indicate insulin resistance, hypertension, which of course is high blood pressure, and subclinical or early atherosclerosis. ADMA correlates with internal carotid artery thickness and plaque formation. Elevated ADMA levels in young adults has been associated with increased CT scan coronary artery calcification. And elevated ADMA levels are associated with twice the risk for adverse events, including MI, which is myocardial infarction or heart attack, and stroke, compared to those with normal ADMA levels. I'll say that part again. Elevated ADMA levels are associated with twice the risk for heart attack and stroke when compared to those with normal levels. She's giving me that little circle finger, which means I got to stop talking. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and pick up right where we left off. We're also going to be talking about acupuncture on the other side of the break. You listen to Dr. Andrew Dyer on WHIO. And we are back. Thank you very much, Gracie. And as my wife reminded me at the break, too many medical terms in that last segment, but here's the deal on that. These are highly technical tests that require a high degree of understanding for interpretation, but the bottom line is, if you can't understand them as a patient, you can't take action on them or against them. So here's the deal. You have a high ADMA and SDMA, that's bad. Okay, it's bad because it shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And it can indicate that problems are either arriving now or could be coming in the future. And wouldn't that be a good call to action for you? If you're a granddaughter, maybe you're a grandmother. Maybe you're a mom. Maybe you have five kids at home. Maybe you have two kids at home. Maybe you don't have any kids at home, but you got to take care of animals and other people, and you have a job you love, and you want to be here around as long as possible. Well, if you have some of these values that are high and off the charts, it doesn't matter if you have a thorough 110% understanding of exactly what that number indicates, as long as you know there's things you can do to make them better. That's ultimately what they're useful for. So the SDMA, that alternative one that I was just talking about, the ADMA version, what it means in a nutshell is, again, it can indicate similar things to what we were just talking about. High blood pressure, insulin resistance, carotid artery thickening and plaque formation. So those, I think, are pretty relatively well understood if you have a high degree of just health knowledge. If you're interested in these kind of topics, you can easily understand what those things do to the body. But we can boil it down to one specific word, and that is inflammation. And if we looked at all the different ways we needed to approach and address inflammation in someone's body, then we could make these two numbers better and a whole lot more. Now, we use other markers in the blood, too, the Westergren Sed rate, or the ESR, the C-reactive protein. Sometimes the homocysteine level is ordered. It's not part of our standard, but we can order it, no problem. And these are all great markers, some on a coronary level or heart health level, and some just on an overall of, well, how inflamed is the body as a whole? Maybe we're not so worried about just the heart piece, but we're worried about joint inflammation or the brain's affected. There's brain fog, there's lethargy, you're fatigued. First thing in the morning, you got to get coffee going before your eyes are even perked awake and open. Yes, no pun intended there with the coffee, but it's really about how could we make little daily changes that would allow us to become healthier over the next 2 to 3 to 4 years? Or if you're young enough now, 2 to 3 to 4 decades worth of time, so that when you get to be 74 and you're newly and freshly retired, maybe you're caregiving for a spouse like my wife's uncle was doing, you can enjoy those retirement years with great health. And it's the investment now. I had a patient that reached out this week, and she keeps coming back to this idea of, if she had all the money back that she had spent on supplements over the years, she'd be further ahead. But when I actually responded to her note, I said, well, if you hadn't been on all those supplements, maybe your health would be a whole lot worse, and you would have had to pour far more money into getting yourself healthy again. Right now, you're doing everything you can to stay as healthy as possible, but there's a lot of what ifs when we look back. And I understand her thought process, but I don't understand why she keeps ruminating back to that point, because, well, first of all, she put herself on far more supplements than I ever suggested she go on, and that was before we had met. But we just got a new round of testing in on her, and I tightened some things up on her protocol and said, okay, here's where you are right now. Here's what you need to focus on. She's dealing with some autoimmune thyroid conditions. It slows down her gut motility. There's a whole host of problems. It's really a life-changing event for her. But she keeps getting upset or frustrated by thinking about, oh, if I had all this money back for what I spent on supplements. That's not the point. Yes, on the ledger, it's the point. But the point is, if she hadn't invested this money and time and effort into her body, things would likely be far worse, and she would have spent far more. Even just a quick and crude example, say she had needed some type of surgical intervention for her bowels or for her liver, or maybe a gallbladder procedure, or this, that, and the other, that would have been hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, probably the insurance would have offset some of that cost, but maybe say her out-of-pocket expense was $20,000. Do you know how many years worth of support we could give somebody for $20,000 of supplementation? And it's not just, oh, they need to be on these noteworthy, buzzworthy supplements of the week, the vitamin of the month, or the vitamin for gallbladder, liver, colon, thyroid. No, it's exactly what she needed. Nothing more, nothing less. So So if you come into our office and you get tested and you're given a list of nutrients to take for a couple of months, and it's, say, 8 or 10 or 12 things long, don't think of it as, oh, gosh, I've got to figure out how to do these 12 things every day. We've got to start building that in as this is the time that I'm being now selfish in my day to make sure that I'm setting aside the time to eat properly, take my nutrients, drink my water, do my exercise so that I can be selfless later on and provide that care and support for my family 20, 30 years down the road. Okay, so I talked about some acupuncture cases and I want to get into those with the time that we have remaining. It'll be pretty fast, but I had two patients this past month of July that came to see me for getting help quitting smoking. One of the hardest addictions on the planet to overcome is nicotine addiction. Now, there are acupuncture protocols for smoking cessation that are highly effective. I think sometimes people are overwhelmed about the idea of changing their whole life at once, but we can take it a step at a time. I'm urging you to invest in yourself here. If you're a smoker, you know that eventually you're going to have a higher risk. You do already by just smoking a pack a day for a year. You've already raised your risk for heart disease and cancer, in some cases threefold, in some cases tenfold, depending upon how long that habit's been in existence for you. So there is not one thing more important that you could do for your health than quitting smoking. And actually this week, I helped probably early to middle 60s maintenance worker. He heard about us by looking up our website on the internet, and I've treated him three times. And when I saw him the first day, he told me he was a pack-a-day smoker and had been for decades. And he tried to quit before, and he was successful for a little while, but he always went back to it in times of high stress and other life events. After two visits, he was down to less than five cigarettes a day. And then I saw him yesterday for the third time, and he said he had only smoked 4 to 5 cigarettes total in the 2 days prior to me seeing him yesterday on Friday. So I saw him on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week. He spent a grand total of $400, a little over $400 in our clinic, and that's going to cover his entire protocol to help him quit smoking. And, you know, he was looking at it this way. The cost of smoking is high, not just to afford buying the cigarettes, but in the end, you're going to need long-term care for potentially lung cancer, all sorts of other problems. Prostate cancer goes way up in men that are smokers. We know this. I mean, you don't have to be beyond a third or fourth grade education to understand that smoking is not good for your health. And most smokers know this, but they are under this grip and grasp of this highly potent addiction that they don't know how to get around. Well, the ancient Chinese art of acupuncture, it's been around 5, 6, 7,000 years, can help. And they're very simple in-office protocols. The treatment takes about 25 to 30 minutes to do. We've done it 3 days this week, and we've got two more scheduled next week. He might not even need them all. He wants to complete the protocol, and of course, we're going to do that for him. But he gets needled in office. We address not only some of the general smoking cessation protocol points that we're utilizing, but also curtailing a unique treatment protocol for him. He's got some low back pain too. So I've been at the very same time while we're addressing his smoking addiction, we're treating for low back as well. Now that part's going to come along a little slower. The results aren't super fast in that avenue, although they can be. But for him, we also intentionally left some tiny little needles in two particular places in his ear. So we're using auriculotherapy acupuncture too, points in the ear. They're all mapped out. There's points along every ridge and nook and cranny in the ear that can be indicated to use for addiction as well as any other health problems. And we've needled those two points for the first two times, and then we added the second ear. He had an issue with his right ear. He has to put an earplug in before he takes a shower because that ear doesn't drain properly. So if he gets water in it, he's in big trouble, gets dizzy and feels strange afterwards. So initially, we were just treating the left ear because that was the ear we could easily get to without problem. And then yesterday, he said he was talking to a friend, and they said, you know, I got needled on both sides of the ears, and it made an even bigger difference. And I had told him that earlier in the week, but he just wasn't quite comfortable thinking about using that right ear. Well, yesterday, we needled the right ear as well, and we'll check in with him again Monday morning. He's got an interesting schedule. He works third shift, so he works overnight. And he's on his way back home to his house. He drives right by our office, so I see him at 8 o'clock in the morning about two or three times a week. I've only seen him three times. And he's basically off cigarettes for the first time in multiple decades. And it will stick. But I'll tell you this. Those of you out there that are addicted to nicotine and smoking, it's a hard thing to quit. It's possible, but you have to have your mindset ready to go even before you come in, because the needles can't knock that cigarette out of your hand and prevent it to going to your lips and mouth, but they can help with that intense craving pathway in the brain, where the brain tells you every 20, 30, 40 minutes, ooh, I need a fix here. I got to go out and smoke and get my chemistry right again. That's the part where acupuncture makes its biggest impact. And so whether that's you or whether you know somebody near and dear to your heart that's been addicted to smoking for way too long, maybe this is their call to action day. Saturday, August 1st, 2026, the day they did something about making their bodies healthier. It's fun. The work we do is exciting. It's fascinating. It's cutting edge. And I love it. I've been doing it for 21 years, right here in the Miami Valley, all of it at Take Two Healthcare. And yes, there are protocols too with using acupuncture as an adjunct to helping people get their weight under control. I think those protocols probably work even better when we couple that with clinical nutrition testing too, because if we don't address their sugar instability or their liver disease or their kidney problems or their chronic and rampant inflammation, then they're not going to get weight loss just with the needles going in. But yes, from a food cravings perspective, acupuncture is highly beneficial in the weight loss department from a food craving control perspective. Now, we're not going to be able to take a 300-pound patient and get them down to 185 in 6 weeks. The body can't keep up with that kind of weight loss. But as we work day in, week in, month out for 60 to 90 days, if we can see a patient losing 1, 2, 3 pounds a week, even over the course of an 8-week treatment plan, they're going to be loads better in 60 to 90 days. And then we've got to keep that maintenance protocol going. So yes, while there are absolutely specific protocols, using acupuncture as a weight loss tool, far safer than many of the GLP-1 medication, far safer, without a doubt safer. There's no risk with acupuncture at all. The biggest thing that will happen is you get a little bruise at the point where the needle went in your body. But from a perspective of natural things we can do to address weight loss, I think it takes more than just the needles itself. The needles can definitely help start the ball rolling, get it cruising in the right direction. And then there's a lot of things that need to be done in the background from a let's get healthier standpoint. And actually, that's my next conversation for my smoking cessation patient from earlier in the week, is once we get him to where he wants to be on that level, we're going to have a really, not a hard conversation, but a real, you know, say come to Jesus meeting. I never really liked that term, but let's say it's that. He's got to think about how he's going to get and stay healthier now for the future. Giving up smoking is one thing, but for him, we've got to address weight loss so that the back pain can dissipate and go away. We got to do some metabolic work with him, or eventually he could fall back into this same trap again and become addicted to the smoking. So there's quite a few different avenues to be taken. And sometimes doing it all at once is what's right for the patient. It depends on their mindset. It depends on where they are. Sometimes it's a sequential approach of, okay, let's address this. And then once we finish that, let's go on to the next. And once we finish that, we'll go on to the next. So we got to meet each patient at the level they're at. But the approaches that we use can be highly, highly effective. And they're within an evidence-based model, meaning we're not guessing. We're testing. And then we're coming back later to test again and prove that what we're doing is working, not only to ourselves and our patient. We've got to take a break. Grace is giving me that eyeball. We've got to be out of here. And we'll be back after this one on WHIO AM 1290. And we are back. Thank you very much. I missed the button the first time, but we're back now. And just with the last few minutes remaining on the program, I kind of wanted to go back to just one quick thing. And that was those two blood values we talked about before in my 78-year-old patient, the ADMA and SDMA values. The reason I mention them again is the progress that we made with him in the last 3 months was exactly what we expected to see happen, in that the numbers didn't do this huge reversal and get all the way back to normal in 2 to 3 months. That wasn't expected. It wasn't possible. He's had 77.9 years to get to this point. So in the next 60, 90-day chunks, we weren't going to reverse that all the way back to normal where he was when he was 18 to 20 years old. But knowing that if those values can remain flat, even if they remain flat for the next year or two, that means his problem didn't get worse. It also means his problem didn't get better yet, but it means that by addressing it with both his diet, exercise, supplementation, all the things that he's doing to be healthier. And he originally came to me with a kidney problem. He came with a kidney, digestion. He was always perpetually hungry. He's not a big guy. He's not overweight by much, but he had this constant need to eat. And he has really, really high hormone levels that show us that that the hormone's called ghrelin that makes him hungry. And it's like off the charts crazy high. And he's had this ongoing problem for quite a few years. But as we've been able to start making him and getting him healthier, he and his wife have changed a lot of the things about how they eat, how they supplement their diets, how they exercise, how they live. And as a result, his numbers in the last few months are just now kind of coming into leveling out on the heart particular markers. Because the very first time we ever looked at those was last March, or this past March, so just 5-6 months ago total. And coming back to them 90 days later, I wanted to make sure that they weren't continually climbing and climbing. So his numbers actually changed by 2 points. The ADMA went from 115 to 117, and the SDMA went from 159 to 160. But our target is to get his ADMA value down to below 90 and his SDMA value down below 115. When we do this, that will be high levels of success for his case. And I don't know when that's going to happen. It's impossible to foretell the future. But what is possible is helping to educate he and his wife, helping to put that emphasis in the right direction on eat these things, avoid these things in your diet, take these particular nutrients designed to be used just for you based on your size, based on your blood pressure, your height, your weight, your vitals, all your other blood markers, your hair testing values, your urine, your stool, all the things that we do can help put together a unique treatment plan for him so that he can actually improve. Because in the standard world of medicine, he was basically given the suggestion of eat better and take this drug. And he knew that he wanted more than that. He knew that he needed more specific help with his diet. He knew that he also didn't want to resign himself to just drug therapy for the rest of his life. He's 78 years old. He doesn't want to sign up for the next 12 or 15 or 20 years maybe to have to take a particular set of drugs every day that may not end up giving him a benefit and that may come with some significant and serious side effects. So I commend him, he and his wife, for taking that step towards challenging themselves to be healthier than they were weeks ago, months ago, years ago, and decades ago. They're putting in the work and the time each and every day. And it doesn't have to be this mighty slog that takes hours and hours every day to do. It just needs focus. So if that's you, if you're out there, you need help with quitting smoking, maybe you got a heart problem or any other health problem, give us a call at Take Two Healthcare. We'll be back Monday morning in the office, and we'll be back here next Saturday on WHIO. You've been listening to Dr. Andrew Dyer this morning, and now we're signing off. Have a great weekend.